At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Help keep our community safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, October 25th. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
Hey, welcome back to Life Sculptors Podcast. I'm your host, Dante Poole. I am so glad that you're here with me today. And y'all, this season, we have been just engaged in conversations about leadership, resilience, emotional durability, relationships. And if you haven't yet found a copy of my book and got it in your hands, I need you to do it. Developing a Durable Mind is available to you, and it will serve as a great resource to your life, to these conversations. Oh my gosh, it is so good. And guess what? Today's conversation, man, invites us into something simple, but not easy. Yeah. Empathy. Mm-hmm. Yep. Not the version that, that feels, in theory, like being kind. No. But the kind of empathy that engages us in imagination and intention, like the empathy that the world needs, that is not based on judgments. Right. Because empathy is not something where judgment happens fast. It's not something where assumptions are easy. It's not something that we use in relationships that come with scripts, because relationships don't come with instructions, do they? Like they require us to lean in and to develop based on who the person is we're in relationship with and who we are becoming. And so today we're going to explore what it really means to imagine ourselves into connection. You heard me. And why this might be one of the most essential skills that we develop in our relationships with each other. As always, we're going to anchor this conversation in a great children's book. And this time, it is delightfully, this book here called When I Was an Alligator by Gail Weber. Weber spelled W-E-B-R-E, right? And it's so good. I came across this book in my recent travels to Louisiana. It's about this little girl who imagines herself as all these different animals, but it tells the story of the wetlands, of the coastal wetlands of Louisiana. And it's a great story, but it's a celebration of curiosity and shape-shifting wonder. And I just can't wait to share it with you. And so let's read it together. When I Was an Alligator by Gail Wimbry. Okay, here we go. I'm a kid, it says. A curious kid. A curious Cajun kid, that is. I like crawfish, peanut butter, riding my bike, and fishing in the marsh with my dad. Mm-hmm. I've always been a kid. I haven't always been a kid. Let me get my reading life together. But once I was an alligator. When I was an alligator, I was fast and fierce with a long, strong tail. I basked on the log in the warm sun and spied herons flying low along the bayou. I wish I could fly like those herons. Wouldn't you? Then, whoosh, I became a heron, wading in a shallow pond, stalking my prey. I soared above the swamp and spotted a mama possum scampering to her nest. She carried her babies in her belly pouch and... babies? In a pouch? That looked interesting. And flip-flop, I became a possum, climbing a tree as my babies hung upside down on branches. One evening, while scounging for food, I was very annoyed by some green tree frogs. They made an awful racket as they called to each other. Suddenly, wink-wonk, I became a green tree frog. My sticky feet helped me cling to trees and hide from predators, and I was pretty good at hiding. When an owl swooped down from his perch and tried to eat me, I fooled him and got away. Then, poof, I became an owl, circling over the swamp, searching for the prey with my keen eyes. There it was, a catfish swimming in the lake below. Quick as a flash, I dove to catch it and, yep, y'all guessed it, splish splosh, I became a catfish, using my whiskers to smell and taste. A swarm along the bottom of ponds were snapping. I swam along the bottom of ponds where snapping turtles buried themselves in the mud. They were creepy creatures with big heads and monster claws. Guess what? I became a snapping turtle. And when I climbed onto the land to lay my eggs, a white-tailed deer was drinking at the water's edge. She flicked her tail and looked around, silent and still, when, sheesh, I became a deer, hiding my fawns in tall grass while I foraged for food. The swamp was calm and quiet until flocks of ducks arrived, squawking and quonking. The wood ducks made a silly whistling sound. Then, ho-eek, ho-eek, I became a wood duck, paddling on a pond. I waddled onto a patch of grass where a goofy green lizard scuttled toward a tree, chased that lizard, but he was so fast for me. I'm sorry, I chased that lizard, but he was too fast for me. So, whiz, I became a lizard, racing up trees and drinking water left on leaves after a rain. I gobbled up lots of bugs, especially those pesky mosquitoes. How could something so small be so aggravating? Oh, no. Buzz, I became a mosquito, laying my tiny eggs in puddles of water. My wings hummed and buzzed as I flew around and around and tried to bite a kid. And then, yep, yikes! I became a kid, eating crawfish and peanut butter, riding my bike, and fishing in the marsh with my dad. I liked being a kid. I did not like that mosquito. I swatted at that mosquito, and splat! Nothing happened. I'm still a kid. A curious Cajun kid. The end. Oh, I know I stumbled through that a little bit, but it's such a great, 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 great book. Y'all, when I was an alligator, at first, right, that line just sounds like the beginning of a silly story, right? But what if it's more than that? Like, what if it's an invitation just to imagine or to become even? Like, as kids, we used to use our imaginations all the time to try on different lives, like an alligator or a butterfly or a pirate or a superhero. And in doing that, we didn't just play. Like, we learned to create, to care, to listen, to relate. And somewhere along the line, many of us lost that imaginative flexibility. We stopped asking, what would it feel like to be someone else? And we became adults. Efficient, certain, and judging before listening. Yeah. But what if we started reclaiming that imaginative posture and we understood it as one of the keys to healthier relationships and stronger communities and maybe even a more compassionate world? Yeah. Like, this is the phrase, right? Let's be honest. Like, we've used these words before. If that was me, Yeah, see, this is not empathy. When I start saying, if that was me, right, it's assumption dressed up as understanding, right? If that was me, it centers on you and not necessarily the other person. It's a projection of my worldview onto someone else's reality. It's often limited by what I've been through and what I think should happen and how I think people ought to behave. But empathy at its core, it isn't asking what would I do in their shoes. You know what it's asking? What is it like to be them in their shoes? Like with their story, with their fears, with their constraints, with their limits, with their values, with their experiences. See, that's what When I Was an Alligator invites us to do. It invites us to be considerate differently, just for a moment, of someone else without agenda and without judgment. Let's talk for a moment about why empathy matters in our world. There's research from the University of Michigan that says this, that over the last 20 years, empathy has declined over 40%, especially with young adults. Like, and many experts, they believe that our culture of competition and comparison and disconnection has shaped this for us. Like, technology has done a great job of helping us to connect digitally, but ironically, it has distanced us emotionally. And meanwhile, there are global challenges from conflict to climate to migration and immigration and they require more than just policies. I think these challenges require perspective. Yes, he. Oh, man. There was another study done by the Elderman Trust Barometer, and it said that empathy was one of the most important leadership traits for rebuilding trust. Empathy is an important trait for rebuilding trust. And so I want to shift us a little bit about how we think about empathy. Because empathy is more than just a moral value. Empathy is a strategic competency. A strategic competency. It's a measurable, learnable skill that impacts how we lead, how we relate, and how we respond. Strategic competencies, not a soft skill, a core competency. Oh, a core capacity even. See, it helps us navigate conflict and collaborate across differences. It helps us to build trust across cultures and generations. It helps us to lead with clarity and not just authority. And like any skill, right? You know how I think about a skill. It can be developed through intentional practice. Yep. Like this strategic competency of empathy, it allows us to ask more questions rather than making more statements. It causes us to resist the impulse to respond quickly, to slow down and think. It encourages us to seek understanding before we seek to influence something. See, if you're not careful, your heart will jump to judgment if you allow your feelings to take the lead instead of your thinking. When I allow my thinking to take the lead, then my emotions have an opportunity to mature. Because empathy, it begins with curiosity, but it becomes powerful when you pair it with emotional maturity. Yup. It's not just about being kind, but it's about learning to see through someone else's eyes. this will change the way you lead. This will change the way you connect. This will change the way you even create. And I got a question for you. Like, when was the last time you were deeply curious about someone whose opinion was different from yours, about someone who you disagreed with? See, we need empathy in our communities. We need it. But real connection, it starts with curiosity. See, the more tension the reason why we have so much tension in our communities is not because of hatred. It's because we start with assumptions. See, we think we know. We've heard it before. We know what it looks like. We know what it sounds like, and we stop listening. But empathy can disrupt what we have put on autopilot. And so communities that foster empathy, they tend to see lower levels of prejudice. We could use that, couldn't we? Greater cooperation across differences, and more civic participation. But this is not always easy, y'all. Empathy, it's not easy, and it's not always popular. And listen, there are some skeptics that say that empathy is flawed, that it's biased, that it's over-emotional, and even dangerous. Like Paul Bloom, the author of Against Empathy, he says this. He argues that empathy can lead to unfairness or burnout or misapplications of support. Okay. Maybe we can reframe that, though. Maybe the response isn't less empathy. Maybe it's wiser empathy. Maybe it's more informed empathy. See, what many researchers are now advocating is for what they call compassionate empathy. Not just a feeling, but how we show up wiser and well. Ooh, I want to show up wisely and well. I don't know about you, but that's how I want to show up to situations. And so I want to get real personal for a moment, because empathy isn't about agreeing with someone. Nope. It's about honoring their experience, even when it's different from ours. That's the difference between empathy and pity. Oh. See, empathy comes and sits beside someone. Pity stands over them. And this is why empathy is both a skill and a choice. It's a skill and a choice. See, it's a posture of the mind, right? It's a willingness to shift, to learn, to be flexible. But it's also a practice of the heart. It's being open enough to hold space for someone who has truth that seems different than mine. You can empathize with someone and still hold your values. We can show up for someone without solving everything. We're so quick to want to fix things and make things fit what makes us feel comfortable or what fits our understanding. Can I just say this too? Like, you can love someone without losing yourself. Oh, that's empathy too. Y'all, listen. Okay, all right. So let me give you three practices to build the skill of empathy. Let me give you three practices, all right? Here's the first one. It's called perspective shifting. Like, here's the question I want you to ask yourself. What might be true for them that I haven't considered yet? That's a wallop of a question, right? Like, what might be true for them that I haven't even considered yet? Because sometimes I get so narrow focused on what I think ought to happen that I don't consider that there is another way. Y'all, this takes the focus off of being right. We like to be right. But this is asking us to shift our perspective. So not just that we can be right, but that's so we can be real. Let's be real with people. Like, it turns arguments into insight. See, when we're in arguments, our emotions are leading the way. And so we can't hear anything else. We don't see anything else. But when we let our thinking lead the way, we turn maybe what may be some information and opinions in an argument into insight. Ooh, perspective shifting. That's your first practice. The second practice is emotional regulation. Yeah. See, feeling with someone is very different than feeling for them. I need you to check your urge to interrupt, to explain, to fix. I want you to stay steady. I want you to practice presence. Oh, my goodness. So I need you to regulate your emotions so that they're not clouding your thinking. I promise you, you'll get to better decisions with your thinking than you will with your feelings. I know. Like people have said, just trust your feelings. I beg to differ. Because the way I felt this morning is a little different than I'm feeling this afternoon. It might be different than the way I'm feeling tonight. I don't know. It just depends on what's happening. My feelings could be all over the place. So I need my mind to help me regulate my emotions so that I can show up. And not that emotions aren't important, because they are very important, but they don't get to lead. My goodness. Okay. So we're going to do some perspective shifting. We're going to do some emotional regulation. And here's the third practice, purposeful presence. Like, I got to stay grounded. I got to bring my full self into the moment without disappearing or without dominating. Some people just need you to be present. They don't need you solving, fixing, doing anything. Like, compassionate empathy doesn't mean like you disappear. It means you choose to stand beside someone while they process there and while they question and while they simply be. Sometimes they're grieving. Sometimes they're angry. Sometimes they're just going through stuff. You just stand with them. That's empathy. I can be present with you without having to find the right things to say or something to do. And we're so uncomfortable because we are fixers and we want to fix it. People don't need you to fix stuff for them. Sometimes they just want you to be there. I just need somebody here so I can process this. Because the reality is, a lot of times we know exactly where we need to land. We just need to clear our emotional fog so we can land in the right place. And so here's another question. Who in your life might need you to shift from being reactionary to being more reflective? Like from being solving and fixing to just being present. That part. The beauty of when I was an alligator is that it invites us to imagine. Like, to imagine, not just for fun, but for formation. Like, we're always involved in this formation. Our culture's helping us to form, and hopefully we're reading and we're doing some things that help form us into the kind of human beings that help make the world a better place. Like, what if the kid imagining life as an alligator was really practicing empathy? Like, what if we still need that skill right there? Like, that skill, not just to understand the world, but to connect with the people in the world. Oh, we don't need any more opinions, because there are, everybody's got one. And a lot of people are sharing them. So we don't need more opinions. You know what we need more of? Presence. Just being present with people. And presence starts with the question, what if I were you? Okay, so here's my challenge to you. For the next 24 hours, right? I want you to choose one interaction with someone that you will intentionally practice compassionate empathy. And here's how I want you to do it. I just want you to do this. I want you to pause your first reaction. Like when they come, I don't want you to just, yeah. I want you to pause it. I want you to take a beat, take a breath, right? And I want you to, then I want you to ask one genuine, curious question. Yes, get curious about them. No, without assumptions, without judgments. And then I want you to let them lead the story. Not the story you're telling yourself in your head about them and about what they're going through. No, no. Really listening to their story and letting them lead the story. And I want you to listen with both your mind and your heart. I want you to listen with both your mind and your heart. And then afterwards, I want you to reflect on what changed. Okay. If this episode sparked something in you, I need you to share it with someone who needs to hear it. Yeah, just share it with somebody. I want you to leave a response, a comment, a review. I want you to subscribe to the channel. I want you to follow me on social media. I want you to help us keep this conversation going. I think it's a conversation worth having. And as always, you're exactly enough. Thanks for tuning into the conversation.